Good scenario, Castillo said.
These are all bright, clever guys, Charlie, she said. Trained investigators.
With diarrhea of the mouth, Castillo said.
Nobody told them all this was top secret presidential, Cieno said. Call it shop talk.
No excuse, Castillo said.
It wasn't as if they were running off at the mouth in a bar, Deschamps said. These guys were swapping gossip with people they knew had the same security clearance as they did. Arguably, their sharing of such information could hold a kernel that would prove to be a missing piece of a puzzle they were working, one they otherwise would not have had.
That's not an excuse, Ed, and you know it, Castillo said.
I didn't say it was right, Ace. I said, I think it explains what happened. I think Susanna's right on the money. And it explains the young man with the titanium leg coming here. His pal got snatched and now he's desperate.
I didn't hear about that, Susanna said.
What he said was his pal, a DEA agent, was snatched a week ago, Deschamps explained. And though he didn't say this, I'll bet nobody in Paraguay is doing anything at all to get him back that might annoy the host government in any way. So he came looking for John Wayne here.
So the question then becomes, what do we do about it?
About getting the DEA guy back? Deschamps asked.
The DEA guy is not my problem, Castillo said.
No, he's not, Deschamps said. Write that down.
Castillo flashed him a cold look. Meaning what?
Meaning for a moment there, Ace, I thought you were starting to think you really are John Wayne, flitting around the world, righting wrongs, Deschamps said.
My primary concern is making sure this operation isn't compromised any more than it already is, Castillo said.
How are you going to do that?
Well, first, we're going to get out of here. There's no reason we can't move it to the Nebraska Avenue complex.
Or is there?
Deschamps shook his head.
The Cienos, Tony and Alex Darby will be here, plus Bob Howell and Montevideo, Deschamps said. They can handle anything that comes up with regard to this.
He gestured in the direction of the Quincho.
Castillo nodded. Darby was the CIA station chief in Buenos Aires, and Howell his counterpart in Montevideo.
But what are you going to do about the guy downstairs? Tony Santini asked. You can't trust him to keep his mouth shut.
Particularly since Charlie's not going to rescue his pal from the bad guys, Susanna said.
He goes with us, Castillo said. Unless somebody's got a better idea?
Tony, who do you know in the embassy in Asuncion? Deschamps asked. I've been up there, of course, Santini said. But I don't have any pals there, if that's what you're asking.
You're not alone, Susanna said.
Castillo and Deschamps looked at her. When she didn't respond, Deschamps asked,
Who's the station chief?
His name is White, Paul Cieno said. Robert J. White.
Deschamps looked thoughtful a moment, then shook his head.
Susanna said, He can't understand why someone like himself, who has kissed all the appropriate buttocks in Langley for years, gets assigned to Asuncion when troublemakers like Paul and Alex and me got to go to Buenos Aires.
What about the military attaché? Castillo asked.
He and the station chief are great pals, Santini said. I don't think talking to them would work, Charlie.
And I don't want to go to the ambassador there, or involve Silvio any more than I already have, Castillo said, almost thoughtfully. If this thing blows up in our faces, the less he knows, the better.
Juan Manuel Silvio was the United States ambassador to Argentina. He had put his career at risk to help Castillo to carry out the presidential finding.
So? Deschamps asked. So, I guess I have to go to the other ambassador.
The other ambassador was the Honorable Charles W. Montvale, the former Deputy Secretary of State, former Secretary of the Treasury, and former ambassador to the European Union, and now the Director of National Intelligence. Castillo shook his head and said,
I now know how Lee felt at Appomattox Courthouse when he said, I would rather face 1,000 deaths but now I must go and treat with General Grant.
Is he really that bad, Charlie?
Susanna asked. Right now, Susie, I feel like a small white mouse about to be put into the cobra's cage, Castillo said. He pushed himself away from the wall, walked to the bed, and gestured to Soles to give up his seat.
You want some privacy, Ace? Delchamps said.
No. I want everybody to hear this, Castillo said, sat down on the bed, and punched the speakerphone button on what looked like an ordinary telephone.
Corporal Bradley speaking, sir,
Lester's voice came over the speaker. Is the local secure LED lit, Lester?
Yes, sir.
Get Major Miller on here, secure.
Aye, aye, sir.
10 seconds later, a male voice came very clearly over the speaker. And how are things down in Buenos Aires on this miserable, blistering, humid afternoon in our beloved nation's capital?
Verify secure,
Bradley's voice piped. Ah, the pride of the Marine Corps. The little green light is glowing brightly, Lester.
Colonel, the line is secure. I believe Major Miller is the party answering.
Thank you, Bradley, Castillo said. Hey, Dick! A sus órdenes, mi coronel, Miller said. Get Agnes on an extension and then patch me through secure to the White House.
I don't like the tone of your voice, Miller said seriously. Hold one, Charlie.
20 seconds later, a female voice announced.
White House.
You on, Agnes? Castillo asked.
Uh-huh.
Mrs. Agnes Forbeson, the Deputy Chief for Administration of the Office of Organizational Analysis, said. You and Dick stay on the line, Castillo said. Don't record or take notes, but pay attention.
Why do I think I know what you're going to say next?
Agnes Forbeson asked.
White House,
the female operator repeated.
You're prescient, Agnes, Castillo said, and then,
Operator, this is Colonel Castillo. Will you get me Ambassador Montvale on a secure line, please?
Hold one, Colonel. It may take a moment. He's in the mountains with the boss.
Oh, shit. 10 seconds later, a male voice came on.
Ambassador Montvale's line?
Colonel Castillo for Ambassador Montvale, the White House operator said. The line is secure.
The ambassador is with the president. I'm not sure he can be disturbed.
Is that Mr. Ellsworth? Castillo asked. Truman C. Ellsworth had risen high in government service as Ambassador Montvale's trusted deputy. He was not an admirer of Lieutenant Colonel Castillo, whom he viewed as a threat to Montvale.
Good afternoon, Colonel,
Ellsworth said in his somewhat nasal voice. I have to speak to the ambassador. Your call, Mr. Ellsworth, as to if he can be interrupted when he's with the president. There was no reply, but in 5 seconds, another male voice, one somewhat impatient, came over the speakers.
Yes?
Ellsworth, you son of a bitch. This is Castillo, Mr. President. Sorry to bother you, sir. I was trying to get the ambassador.
My line rang,
the president said, and then corrected himself.
Flashed. How are you, Charlie?
Very well. Thank you, sir.
You're in Argentina, right?
Yes, sir.
What kind of television do you get down there?
We've been watching Fox and Deutsche Welle, Mr. President.
So you know what's going on in New Orleans and along the Gulf Coast?
Yes, sir.
We're watching. Hard to believe, isn't it?
Unfucking believable, sir.
Yes, Mr. President, it is. I want to see you as soon as you get back up here, Charlie. When is that going to be?
Probably late tomorrow, sir.
Okay, I'll see you then. Unless I'm down there overseeing this disaster. You find me either way.
Yes, sir.
Charles, Castillo heard the president say. It's Charlie for you.
Ambassador Montvale came on the line a moment later.
Good to hear from you, Colonel, he said. What can I do for you?
Buy Mr. Ellsworth a new pair of glasses.
Excuse me.
I can think of no reason but fuzzy eyesight for his pushing the president's button when he knew I wanted to talk to you. Can you?
I'm sure that it was inadvertent.
Oh, me too, Castillo said sarcastically.
I can't imagine him doing it on purpose, hoping it would cause the president to be annoyed with me. It just has to be his glasses.
What can I do for you, Charlie? Montvale asked, his annoyance clear in his voice.
There's a risk of compromise down here that I want to stop before it goes any further.
At this late date?
Yes, sir.
What needs to be done?
Two things. First, please call the station chief in Paraguay and tell him that Alex Darby is coming to see him and will speak with your authority.
My authority about what?
To tell his people to stop guessing between them what happened in Uruguay and here, and stop talking about it, period.
Should I call the ambassador there?
Let's leave him out of it, if we can.
Your call? But forewarned is forearmed, as you know.
And then call Fort Meade and have the DIA immediately transfer First Lieutenant Edmund Lorimer, an assistant military attaché at the embassy in Asunción, to OOA.
What's that about?
He was clever enough to learn my name and find the safe house. I don't want to leave him here.
A troublemaker, in other words.
Mr. Ambassador, he's done nothing but what I would have done in his shoes.
Why don't I find that comforting, do you suppose?
Castillo ignored the response.
We're shutting down here, Castillo went on, just to be safe. We're just about finished here, anyway. We ought to be in Washington sometime late tomorrow. I'm going to bring Lorimer with us.
Come see me when you get here.
Yes, sir, of course. I'll get right on this.
Thank you, sir.